In the preachings that we get from the second and third century, celibacy, the celibate members, the virgins of the church are always exalted as the most blessed within a church. And furthermore, there are certain sectarian communities, particularly in Asia Minor, today Turkey, in which you had whole classes of Christian sects of essentially ascetics abstaining completely from sexual activity, who recruited by conversion rather than by procreation. These notions were really very much at odds in some ways with pagan notions overall. There were the pagans who would indulge in, or I should say choose, an ascetic life. But in most Greco-Roman society, the pressure was to procreate, to continue the family, to continue the state, the city. And you have to keep in mind what the sacrifice meant to the people of late antiquity. Giving up a healthy child to an ascetic tradition was quite a sacrifice. The best estimates are that for a couple to ensure that at least two of their children survived to be adults and then produce children in turn, they needed a minimum of six children. More likely, 10 was a better bet. And in the ancient world, there was enormous stress in making sure that those families continued, that the ancestral spirits would be tended to, and the simple fact that the family would survive. It's a point often overlooked in most texts dealing with the ancient world, but it's a fact of life that we should always remember. The mortality rate was horrendous. Half of the children will die within the first year or two. Perhaps another 25% will die before the age of 10. So the number of individuals who would survive to maturity and would in turn produce children is not that many in the number of children that any couple would have. And so the ascetics were really looked upon by many of the pagans probably as quite a peculiar group and one making quite a peculiar sacrifice. To the Christians, as I said, this was an imitation in the life of Christ. And in some ways, you can say as a simplified form that the ascetics succeeded to the role of martyrs, particularly in the 4th and 5th centuries. Once the emperor is a Christian, you can say that the martyr business is closed down. You can't be a martyr anymore. That's a simplified way of saying it, and that an ascetic, in effect, succeeds to the role as the new Christian heroes. There's a bit of truth to that. There is some sense that, martyrs are no longer available. You become an ascetic. But even before the ascetics emerged as a major group in Christian society in the 4th and 5th century, there's a great debate over what sacrifice meant. In some ways, martyrs were very heroic. They went out there, defied Roman authorities. We talked about them in two lectures ago. They died in the arena. On the other hand, that was a one-time shot at piety. And there are instances of martyrs being suspected of not really being martyrs, but being really prideful, falling to the sin of pride, going in and deliberately showing their faith. There's a famous set of canons in the Council of Elvira in Spain that if you go up to a pagan cult statue and you deliberately spit on it or defy it and they kill you on the spot, that's not martyrdom, that's just stupidity. So the church fathers are very aware of this, that martyrdom could very easily lead over to the sin of pride, whereas the ascetic who devoted his life to imitating Christ, denying himself all of these earthly pleasures, to come in closer communion with God, may actually be the more noble hero because his life was a continual sacrifice. It was an obligation taken on day by day and an extremely difficult to achieve. There are already traditions of such ascetics in the second century. One of the most famous is a woman named Saint Thecla, whose sanctuary is now in southwestern Turkey. And another aspect about the ascetic traditions in early Christianity is it could confer status, holiness, piety upon women, give them a position in the early Christian communities that they might not otherwise have in the wider society. And so you find a number of very important early Christian ascetics who are women, particularly in the 4th and 5th century. There's a whole class of them from the upper classes in Rome who go out to the wastes and the deserts. In understanding the ascetic movement, you really have to spend some time on the career of St. Antony. St. Antony is reputed to have lived over 100 years. He's thought to have been born about 250 A.D., according to his biographer, Athanasius, Patriarch of Alexandria, the man who defined the Nicene faith at the First Ecumenical Council, Saint Antony died around 357 A.D., and if these dates are at all correct, he lived about 106, 107 years of age. He may well have, considering how tough he was to endure the type of exercises of being an ascetic.